Hi, thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing podcast series from Physio My Dog. I'm Harriet Kitkat and I'm from Physio My Dog. I'm a vet physiotherapist specialising in dogs, but I'm also a dog owner myself, and I'm also incredibly nosy and interested in knowing more and more about what we can do as dog owners, but also as therapists as to what we can do to help dogs. So I hope you find this series useful. Everyone, it's Harriet Kitkat here from Physio My Dog. Now, firstly, I have to make a massive apology, basically, because it's taken me so long to start series three. So I'm really sorry. Last year, as in 2022, was a bit of a bonkers year, really. I feel like probably maybe similar to you guys, that everything kind of was sort of going back to normal, as in from, you know, from the whole COVID thing. And it just flew by, and I was also doing lots of new things and lots of other ongoing things. So I thought I would just do a really quick update as this series one, just as like a quick intro, so you can kind of have a bit of an idea about what I've been up to, but also so you can hear what's going to be coming up in this series. And as always, I would love to know any feedback or anything like that you've got on any of the kind of content that I've put out there, and if there's anything that you would really love to know about moving forward. So firstly, you may, if you follow me on Facebook or any or Instagram or anything like that, I have been busy. Well, last year, in fact, I started it in 21, but I actually finished, and a lot of the time last year was taken up with my canine nutrition diploma. And the reason I did that was, well, a couple of reasons. Firstly, one was inspired by Baxter. So again, if you follow me on social media, you'll see that I post quite regularly about Baxter, who's our rescued golden retriever. And he has had and does have gut issues. And because, again, if you've heard my previous episode on how I got on into all of this in the first place, was because of my previous dog, Jensen. He inspired me to set myself up as a physiotherapist. And Baxter's really led me into wanting to know more about nutrition because of his gut issues. So I was like, oh, okay, typical Harriet fashion, I'll just get myself qualified. So that's what I did. And so I'm now qualified, so fully insured and qualified to be able to give canine nutrition advice, because I've got this diploma now. And, you know, there's lots of different types of, I guess, qualifications that you could have. But the reason I chose this one particular diploma was because, firstly, it was the only one that was properly accredited. There may be others now, but it was certainly the only one at the time. When I was looking, and I didn't want a course that was like sponsored. I'm quite cynical when it comes to certain things, and my previous life was marketing, and so, you know, I'm always really cynical when it comes to big claims. This is the best thing, this is the right thing to do, da da da, there's only one thing, da 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 da, hence my podcast title being called It's Not Just One Thing, because there isn't just one thing. So anyway, I wanted to know independent advice. I didn't want it to be, you know, your dog needs to eat this, and it's sponsored by a certain dog manufacturer. So someone, you know, with invested interest, that they should be giving you this information. Because let's face it, you can look at research papers and it can tell you what you want it to hear sometimes. You know, statistics can be manipulated like that sometimes. Again, that's my cynical part. But so I really wanted independent advice and facts, really, and content, and the latest findings with a lot of this stuff. Because like everything, you know, we all learn something new all the time, and things do change. So a bit like, you know, back in the day, smoking was meant to be good for us. Well, obviously, clearly smoking is not good for us. So, you know, advice that was probably given out, you know, a period of time ago for our dogs isn't necessarily relevant now. So that was one of the reasons I really wanted to get myself qualified with the right kind of information. So it's put together by someone who's completely independent, or two people actually, completely independent. So there's no vested interest in them saying, oh, and then buy this bag of, you know, dog food. And it really gives like a really good holistic view of nutrition for dogs. So I won't go into all of the detail of it because that's a whole podcast in itself, really. But it was really learning about, you know, what is nutrition? You know, what is it? What are all the different micro and macronutrients? So what are what is carbohydrate? What is protein? What is fat? Et cetera, et cetera. And what do our dogs actually need? Because what we think they need and what we're sometimes told they need isn't necessarily correct. And I would also say with all of these things, it's very personal to the dog. So, you know, I like carbohydrates. I love pasta. I love potatoes. I love all that kind of stuff. Steve, my partner, he's a real meat man, you know, so he's high protein. Now that's, we need carbohydrates and we need protein, but our preference sometimes is can be different. And it is the same for dogs. So, and what they need and what they want can be different as well. So I kind of learned a lot about the kind of the different micro and macronutrients, you know, how dogs' digestive systems are actually designed. So yes, there is sometimes a personal preference, but equally their digestive system is designed slightly different to ours. Sometimes the kind of procedure may be simple, and a lot of the sort of health conditions that are affected by our gut can be very similar to dogs, with humans, but ultimately how they digest food and what their bodies need is different to what we need a lot of the time. So it's just having a really good understanding of that so we can then help make decisions. A bit like us humans. Now, again, there are similarities, there are differences, but as it is with humans, you know, what a puppy needs will be different to what an older dog needs. Same with us, what our babies need versus what, you know, someone in their 70s, 80s, 90s needs nutritionally, again, is different. So it's really important that we don't just stick to one thing, that we learn, you know, we kind of think about what stage is our dog at, what health conditions are they having, and how can nutrition really help that. So, you know, I learned a lot about evolution. So, you know, thousands of years ago, how did the canine even come into the home? How do we domesticate them ultimately? You know, there are some things that have stuck as opposed to, again, how dogs stroke wolves. You know, they obviously came from the wolf. There were lots of different types of wolves. It wasn't like there was just one wolf that they came down from. So, again, there are some things that have been are fairly similar to those days, but again, things have also changed. So there's never a set rule. I think that's what I'm trying to say with this stuff. What else did I learn? I learned a lot. Oh my goodness. I learned so much about this whole microbiome thing. And if you do one thing from this podcast, please Google microbiome because it is fascinating. Again, for us humans, we have a lot to learn. And I've actually made quite a few changes myself as to how I eat now and what kind of food I eat. So I've got lots of information again on my nutrition page about this, but the microbiome is basically the community of gut of bacteria in our guts. We also have microbiome on our skin, that type of thing as well. But and again, nutrition has a massive part to play with regards to the microbiome, how that influences our health, how it influences our behavior, very similar to dogs. And then finally, the last part of my diploma was about, I had to do a research project and I did it on how diet influences inflammation in the body. Again, fascinating. My goodness me, how diet can play such a huge, huge part in our day-to-day lives. So I guess the kind of the real takeaway from that is the fact that there are so many things that we can learn from us humans, but equally, dogs aren't humans, humans aren't dogs. There are some things that are similar. There are some things that are different. There are some things that are similar to what they were doing when they were wolves, but there are some differences as well. So there is no one size fits all with this stuff. It's about knowing what is right for the dog that's in front of us. So anyway, so that's nutrition. I loved it. I'm still going to be obviously focusing very much on physiotherapy with regards to my my sessions, but I'll be using the kind of the knowledge that I gained from my nutrition course to help basically enhance what I'm able to help and advise and what have you. So nutrition took up a lot of my time last year, but I loved it. And if you go to my website, I've got a whole page on nutrition, and that's going to be constantly updated. So check it out. Okay, what else did I get up to? So I obviously have, I have to keep up my CPD hours as part of my my nutrition qualification, but also my physiotherapy qualification. And you know, sounds like it's a real chore, but honestly, I love it. There are so much to learn. And there, again, things are constantly changing, and it's just really lovely to mix finally face to face with people, because obviously so much of this learning has been done online. A lot of it continues to be online just because of there's lots of, you know, I guess cost savings and what have you, but and also convenience. But it was really lovely last year that I got to meet up with some fellow physiotherapists and other sort of vet professionals or dog professionals. I went to Vet Fest, which was founded by Supervet, so Noel Fitzpatrick, actually near where I used to live. So it was quite handy because I could catch up with my family while I was up there. But that was fascinating. That was a 2-day in-person festival, hence the name Vet Fest. So it was a bit of a festival, as in the kind of the vibe, but it was very serious learning. We didn't just have fun, you know. So that was really interesting. And I say I did some ridiculous amount of learning hours last year. I won't bore you with all of those details, but there was just, yeah, I just find it all so fascinating. So that was all my learnings. Well, not all my learnings, but some of my learnings. And then I also started to do some owner workshops, which again was a really, like a lot of these things, end up being kind of a bit of a happy accident, really. In that some of my clients, I always give my clients homework after every session. I always give them homework, and a couple of my clients started saying to me, "Harriet, can you teach me some, you know, some massage, some proper like massage techniques?" And whenever I give owners homework, I always show them what to do, and I quite often send them videos afterwards, and I get them to do it in front of me so they kind of know what they're doing, and they can ask questions, what have you. But a couple of them actually saying, "Well, can you?" But that obviously is only, you know, a fairly short part of my consultation, and so a lot of them were saying, "Well, actually, can you spend a bit more time showing me this stuff?" So I was like, "Do you know what? Okay, let's do an owner workshop." So I did a couple of these last year, which have been fabulous, and I'm doing some more this year. So again, check out my webpage, which is, I'll post it in the show notes. It's a small sort of intimate event where it's a maximum of 6 dogs with their owner. And basically I'm kind of showing the owner some really safe and simple massage techniques that they can carry out, you know, safely with their dogs at home. And, you know, obviously not all dogs really like being in a group environment. So I actually did some of these one-to-ones as well. So I'd go to people's houses, and so we would do this as a one-to-one session. And I've also done some online. So people that that can't reach me, or, you know, out of my area, but are still really keen to learn. So I've been using Baxter as my kind of demo dog, this side of the camera. And then the owner, the other side of the camera, have been carrying out their, you know, on their dog. And what's been really lovely there is that obviously dogs, as I say, that couldn't cope with group environments, but equally couldn't cope really with anyone else touching them other than their owner. So if there's a few sort of behaviour issues, then it just means that they haven't, you know, they don't have to miss out. So that's been really lovely. I've really enjoyed doing those. And I've got my, again, because people want to know more, I've actually got a part two as well now. So a lot of the people that have done the first session last year, they want to come back and do some more. So I'm just finishing writing my part two, and I've got that coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So look, if you want to learn more, then again, check out my website, and then all the details are on there. So it's physiomydog.com/massagemydog. But again, I'll put the notes, I'll put the link in show notes. So what else was I going to tell you about? I was trying to keep this fairly short, this intro, so I'll try not to talk too much longer. People always ask me, how's Baxter? So as I say, Baxter was the inspiration for my nutrition course, but he also still always inspires me with regards to physiotherapy. And he's doing pretty well. On paper, he is 10 years old. I honestly don't know if he's that old. His face sometimes looks that old, but I don't always feel like his body is that old. So I'm guessing he's anywhere between 7 and 10. and as far as I'm concerned, he's young forever. But we've been able to manage his acid reflux. So this is a bit of a hop back to nutrition for a second. We've been able to really successfully manage his acid reflux purely by diet. So there's no medication that's been needed. Sometimes some supplements, but ultimately we have been able to manage his acid reflux symptoms purely by diet and how often we feed him and when we feed him. So if your dog has acid reflux, then get in touch, because I can certainly give you some great tips. And some people don't, you know, always know what acid reflux is, because I wasn't sure what it was. I didn't really understand the symptoms, or didn't know what the symptoms actually meant. So it can come up in lots of different ways, acid reflux. It's a funny one. And again, humans can have it, and the way we treat humans can sometimes be different to how we treat dogs. So it's good to remember that. But he's doing well. So I'm really, really happy with how well he's doing on the gut front, as it were. And physio-wise, he's actually pretty good. I'm really happy with how his body moves and how it feels. He's a bit of a kind of a Mo Farah type of physique, I suppose. Whereas Jensen, our previous dog, he was a bit more of your Usain Bolt. So Usain Bolt, big and bulky, you know, powerful. That's what Jensen was like. Baxter's a bit more sort of a bit more slim build, a bit more of an endurance kind of guy. Can kind of not necessarily sprint that quickly, but can kind of go on and on and on. And so Baxter's a bit more like that. So he doesn't have big muscles, but he's pretty agile. And he can jump up on things that Jensen just never would have done. He would have certainly face planted on some of those things that Baxter can do really quite easily. So I'm really, really happy with how Baxter's doing. He's my second furry love of my life, because Jensen was kind of the first. So that's that. And then I was just going to very quickly tell you about a couple of really interesting cases that I had last year. And again, if you follow me on social media, hopefully you would have seen some of them. But so one of them was little Cooper, who was a little Cocker Spaniel with swimmer's syndrome, which is when, as a little puppy, normally kind of happens about, owners tend to notice when they're about 2 weeks old, just when they're starting to kind of try and get up and about, that their legs are kind of, it's almost like they have face planted. So their front and their back legs are kind of like splayed out in front of them. So, or to the side of them, I should say. So instead of being able to kind of get their legs up onto their bodies and then start to stand and move, they tend to, hence the name swimmers, they tend to try and swim, because that's their way of trying to get around. And, you know, again, this is a fairly new discovery as opposed to how we treat it. It's only been the last sort of 10, 15 years or so that they've actually properly treated it, because a lot of the time, unfortunately, the puppies were put to sleep. But actually, it can be, if you get in early, it can actually be very successfully treated. And that's certainly my experience, because obviously there's never any guarantee, but my experience is that we've been able to be really successful. So again, check out my Facebook page, my case study page, because I've got a little video of how Cooper, how we treated Cooper and how he was doing. And how weird is this? So literally, virtually exactly a year later, somebody else contacted me saying their Cocker Spaniel puppy also had been diagnosed with swimmer syndrome. So, and his name is Rocky. And so I've been working with those guys, and very similar results, doing so well, you know, results actually quite quickly. So I'll be posting about him shortly. I'm just wrapping up with him, because he's almost kind of, you know, you would never almost know now. So look out for him. But, you know, if anyone is out there and don't know what swimmers is, then, and if you've ever heard of it, or if you ever, if you're a breeder, or, you know, you have your bitch gives birth to puppies and you suspect that, you know, the dog isn't moving quite correctly, then please get it checked out, and get it checked out early, because believe me, there are some very successful cases. I've personally treated two, and that's as of February 23. But all of the other physios, that it's not that common. So a lot of physios wouldn't necessarily even ever see it. It's kind of just the way things are. But the other physios that I know have treated it have all been successful as well. So please don't get downhearted if that's something that your one of your pups gets diagnosed with. And then finally, the other little case I was going to tell you about was, well, she was called Puppy, then she was called Tiara, now she's called Winnie. And she was a little puppy rescued from a puppy farm situation. And again, when she was put into foster, the foster family found out, well, could see very early on, well, almost immediately, that there was something not quite right with her back legs. So Team Tiara kicked in, and I'm so pleased with how well she is doing. She's now in her forever home, and she is living her best possible life. And she was just one of those dogs that, oh, she got under my skin. Just the cutest little thing. So determined, so passionate. You know, she's not ever going to have probably normal function completely in her back legs, but oh my goodness, that does not stop this little lady. She is just full of energy, passion, drive. I don't know how else to explain her. She fills my heart with joy when I think about her and when I see her little updates and what have you from her now guardian, you know, full-time guardian. It's just so lovely. And she just, yeah, she was just one of those dogs that probably back in the day wouldn't have necessarily always been given a chance, but we worked together as a team. It wasn't just me. And she is doing fabulous. So pleased. So I'll put all those links. Oh, this is going on for 20 minutes, so I'm going to stop talking. So I'll put all those links on the show notes so you can have a look. And then coming up this series of It's Not Just One Thing podcast, I'm going to be talking to some more owners and about their stories. I will do some nutrition podcasts specifically around nutrition. Probably about maybe how we use nutrition to treat certain conditions. Might do that. And I've just started on my Facebook page or my socials something called What Is Series, because one of the things that I was getting asked about a lot is owners saying, look, my dog's been diagnosed with X, you know, XYZ kind of condition, but I don't know what it is. I don't know how to help. Blah, 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 blah. Can you please give me some more information? And what are the signs? What should I be looking out for? So I will be doing some little podcast shorts. I might try and do like a little short series, so they're not the full 30 minutes, maybe 10, 15 minute series, just little bite size, so you can have a little understanding of some of those conditions. So I'll probably do things like hip dysplasia, L dysplasia, luxated patella, some stifle injuries and conditions, maybe some spinal ones as well. So there'll be lots of different things that I'll do there. And again, I'll try and maybe do some nutrition ones as well. Okie dokie. Right then, guys. Well, I know I've rabbited on for far too long, and I'm hoping that you guys are still listening. So yay to you. As I say, any queries, any questions, any feedback, please always let me know, because as I say, I love what I do and I love helping people help their dogs, because you know, let's face it, that's why we have our dogs, isn't it? We want to help them and we want to do the very best for them. So as I say, any help or queries, what have you, then you know where to find me. Take care, guys. Bye. Thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing That Will Help Your Dog podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. If you'd like any more information about anything that we've been discussing, please contact me. You can find my website by Googling Physio My Dog. You can also look me up on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, Physio My Dog. I look forward to hearing from you.